This morning, would you take your Bible and go to Luke's Gospel in the 12th chapter, Luke chapter 12. I had many favorable comments to me, thank you so much, about eating and drinking in the worship center. I appreciate that so much. Thank you for your understanding on that and for keeping the church house more like a place of the worship of Almighty than like a civic hall. I love you folks, and thank you so very, very much for that. Luke 12, we come to this particular passage starting around verse 35, where Jesus actually is going to deal with parable and warnings that's connected with the second coming. And the reason that is so crucial is that the preceding verse that where we will embark in verse 35, verse 34, Jesus made a statement, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be." Now listen carefully. That verse does not say where your heart is, that's where your treasure will be. He's been talking preceding these verses about where your treasure is. Because where you place your treasure is where we find that your love and heart really is. If you took the register of my checkbook or the canceled checks, or I took yours or your canceled checks, you would not have to find out what do I like. I would not have to try to make a judgment about what do you really like. You like whatever you spend your money on. And Jesus said, where your treasure is, that's where your heart really is. And with that statement embarked with these words in verse 35 down through verse 48. And here is what I titled the morning message, "When Your Heart is Right." He said, now, where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. And if your heart is where it belongs, or your treasure's where it ought to be, then your heart's going to be where it ought to be. And if your heart is where it really ought to be, your heart will be right. So what does a right heart look like? How can we tell that if your heart's in the right place? That's the nature of these verses. Beginning in verse 35, a continuum of thought from the preceding verse. "Let your loins be girded about." And I'm going to pause there. The text is going to say, "and your light's burning." But I want to just deal with that opening phrase, "let your loins be girded about." If you're keeping notes today, that phrase tells us the first thing we need to know about when our heart is right, it is that we will be dressed for battle. It was not uncommon that servants would gather up their long robes and tie them with what the New Testament calls a girdle, which is nothing more than a belt. I wouldn't tell this story if my mother was alive. Y'all kind of know where I'm headed. My mother would wear what was called in our day a girdle. It had to be made by some man that fairly hated women. Because sometimes if a woman got into one, you'd have to call 911. I'm teasing. Well, you wouldn't have to call 911. But it was hard to get out of them. The girdle of the text of Scripture means I've got on a long robe. I might be a daily servant for you, or I could be in the military force of the people of Israel. But one thing about it, I can't serve in the military with a long robe around my feet because you have to be equipped for battle and move fast. And I can't do my work as quickly as I could with robing around my feet. In fact, I know ladies would understand this, but people that get to really understand it are men who sing in choirs and wear robes who are not used to having long robes. You will fall and break your neck going up or coming down steps. And it wouldn't be uncommon that a man would reach who's in choir and grab his robe and pull it up. In the time of our Lord, at the time of the writing of this text, both military people and servants who served their masters day by day would gather those robes and bring them completely up around the waist area, and this area is known as your loins, and that robe would be fastened so that if I had to take off in a hurry, running or whatever, I will not get tangled up in my robes. So he is telling us that when your heart is right, you're really dressed for battle. You're not letting yourself become encumbered. That's what a long robe would do to somebody that needed to get his work done or who needed to be involved in battle. You would become encumbered with it. You would be put in a position that you could not make the same timing. You would not be as secure on your feet. And your heart is not going to be in the right place when you're not dressed for both service and battle. And the work of God's children, with the heart being where it belongs, needs to be dressed properly, because we have been called to work for God. We have been placed as children of God in a war. We were members and soldiers in the kingdom of darkness. Did you like the words of that song? We were once wretched, and but for grace we'd still be there. But grace took us out of wretchedness and placed us in the kingdom of light and made us servants of God, workers for God, and soldiers in the army of God. And we must be dressed for battle, or the enemy will make a fool out of us. Loose garments, are you listening? Loose garments, just like loose living, will absolutely cause you to become entangled and defeated. And failure to fall will stop you from your present work, will stop you from your current battle, and can cause you to get yourself killed by the enemy, not to mention injured on your own. So the first thing we know about when your heart is right is that you're dressed for battle. Just a passing question, but a penetrating question. As only God could answer it, I can't answer it for you and you can't for me. But if truth be told this morning, are you really being encumbered in your service to God? Are you really being encumbered in your warfare because you are not dressed for battle and you are letting things entangle you that keeps you from giving your best service to God and your best warfare for God? I'm amazed at the web of entanglement that COVID, are you listening? I don't know that COVID caused it. I think COVID just put forth a time to show what people are made of. I say this with great kindness, and I'm speaking across the country, not just to this congregation. I'm speaking of this everywhere. I have been shocked at how fearful people are of death. I'm shocked. I'm not shocked that lost people would be fearful of death, but I've been amazed. There's a group of people that call themselves Christians that think they're going to be able to still play football till they're 100, and one day they're going to feel bad, and that night they're going to lay down and go to sleep and not wake up the next morning, and then they're going to be dead. When you know of a case like that, come share it with me and I'll rejoice. Folks, people don't live that way and they don't die that way. And I just say to you in passing, you can live a full life or you can live a cautious life. And cautious lives lived permanently are never full lives. God has called us to serve. God has called us to battle. And I hope to die in the service and battle of Almighty God. Amen. Number two. You not only must be dressed for battle, but he said, and your light's burning. Now, folks, your light's burning tells us the second mark of a heart that's right. You are alert for what's unexpected. Lights are turned down or off for inactivity. I do not like a dark house. And the only time I turn the lights down or off is when it is getting time for inactivity and bed. You know, you go, trying not to be critical of this, I'm just making a statement. It is not uncommon to go to churches in this hour in America of all stripes. And when you walk in, the entire inside is painted black and everything, the lights will be off, and there'll be a light on the stage for the performers. Folks, if I'm a preacher and a pastor, I need to see your face when I'm talking. And the darkness, I find in Scripture that there's a particular one that loves the dark. And God's people ought to love light. Yes, and that type as well. Why? Because when you are in the dark, you will meet things unexpected. And he said, if your heart is right, you will be alert for the unexpected. And you can't be that way if you've turned your lamp down. I know preachers today that's coming in for the landing. They are X number of years old. I've given myself to ministry. I've been here long enough to have a bird nest on the ground, and I'm just going to take my ease in Zion. God have mercy. Pray that they'll find something else to do. They don't need to be in ministry. I want to go out like J. Harold Smith, if God be pleased. I want to go out like other of my heroes who have just given everything they've got until they had no more to give. Keep your lamp burning. Is your lamp up? Are you ready for activity? Or have you turned the lamp down? Is your lamp not burning very bright? Because really, you're leaning on toward inactivity. When the master was away, contextually, here's what was the deal. The servants really didn't know when he was going to come home. And they needed to be continually ready. And folks, we have a master that's coming. And we don't know when he's coming. And heaven help that he come back and find us able to serve and able to fight. But it's not our inability, it's our unwillingness. And that demon known as ease has taken us over, and we've just turned the lamp down. Now, don't misunderstand that. I don't know of anybody my age that's doing what they did when they were in their 30s. Your body only lets you do so much. I'm not talking about you've had to turn the lamp down with body. Have you turned the lamp down with willingness? That's it. Are you still doing what you can do? What is a person whose light is burning? Can I tell you what I think that is? I think that is available, devoted, prepared, dedicated, and accountable. And those five things have just about lost their way in the hour in which we live. Be alert for the unexpected. Number three, a heart that is right is found in verses 36 through 38. And ye yourselves, like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him when? Immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he, that is the Lord that returns, he's going to gird himself, and he's going to make them, that is the servants, as you, sit down to meat, that is to eat, and he'll come forth and serve them. He's going to come serve us. And if he comes in the second watch or comes in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. Folks, this Lord that's coming back that you and I say is the blessed hope of the church, he's taking us off to a supper known as the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he's going to feed us. And when he talks about the second or the third watch, it doesn't matter if he comes back from 3 to 6 or 6 to 9 or whenever he comes back. The point is, whenever he comes, are we ready for him? So the third mark of a heart that's right is that in the meantime, if we're going to be ready in any season, then we must be mindful to fight against fatigue and weariness. Listen carefully. Everybody, I'm talking about physical body, gets tired. But every physical body needs to take in some rest. That pleases the Lord. It so pleased him that from creation, he set aside a whole day. In the Old Testament, it was known as the Sabbath day. For you to come apart from your routine in order to focus on him and rest your body. Vance Havner said, if we don't come apart to rest our body, we're just going to come apart. And that's what's happening with a lot of people in this society. We do not know day from night. When the sun goes down, the lights are on all night. We work every shift. We never know what it is to take a day off, to take time off. And I hate to tell you this, but other than people who can't find anything else to say, when you die, if there is a funeral for you, and that's looking very doubtful, but if there is one, nobody's going to say, he sure was a worker. He didn't take off for nothing. He never did spend time with his family. In fact, if that could be said, it's a shame to you. It's nothing to brag about. You're welcome. If that bothered you, come tell me at the end of the service, and I'll let you apologize. God established from the oldest covenant of creation, take a day of rest. The New Testament does not command it, but tells us that every day should be holy unto the Lord. Therefore, if the ox is in the ditch on the Lord's day, which was established by the New Testament church coming together to commemorate that Christ resurrected on the first day of the week, and we celebrate the resurrection. However, since there's not a designated Sabbath, take a day to focus on the Lord Jesus and take a day to rest your body and to refresh your spirit. That deserves a round of applause, but it won't get it because we all feel like hypocrites. And so be mindful to fight against fatigue and weariness. And the best way I know for you to get fatigued and weary is to never take a minute off to get you a nap. I think I've shared with you. Papa Sam had a preacher friend of his make the statement one day about always being tired. And he was really going through a litany of what all was taking place in his fatigue and tiredness. And he said, I don't know what to do. You got any suggestions? And Papa Sam said, you really mean that question? He said, sure I mean it. He said, well, it may hurt your feelings, but I don't want to. You don't know it, but you all but brag about getting up at 4 o'clock to read your Bible. Keep your carcass in the bed and get a good night's sleep, and you won't be as grumpy and you won't be as tired. Sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is rest your body. Now, folks, if you don't ever crawl out of the bed till noon every day, God be helpful to you because you need to get up and do something. That is, if you went to bed before 6 a.m., you ought to get up and do something. But nonetheless, folks, this is the only one of these you're going to get. And there is a stewardship of body as much as there is a stewardship of heart. So you be mindful to fight against fatigue and weariness. It's not wrong to get tired in the work. I go home on Sunday nights. My morning starts at 5 a.m. And I want you to know by Sunday night, I can't remember for sure how to spell Beth. I'm tired in it, but I'm not tired of it. But if you keep going, you're going to get tired of it, and you'll have a bad spirit. And you'll get mad if one of your close family members won't say something about it. So your heart is right. You'll be mindful of your fatigue and weariness. Number 4, verses 39 through 46. And this know, that if the goodman of the house, talking about the master, the one that's the head of the house, if he had known what hour the thief was going to come, he would have watched, and he wouldn't have suffered. That is, he wouldn't have permitted his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. Then Peter said to him, Lord, do you speak this parable unto us or even to all? Are you just talking to us as disciples? Are you talking to everybody? And here's what the Lord said in verse 42. Who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Is that just true for just the 12, or is that true for all of those who are Christ followers? Well, you know the answer to that. It's for all. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verse 44, of a truth I say to you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord, he's going to delay his coming. You know, I've kind of been hearing this all my life. Hey, he's not going to really come back. He then begins to do something that no faithful servant would do. He will beat the men servants and the maidens, and he'll eat and drink and be drunken. Verse 46. The Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looks not for him, in an hour when he's not aware, and he'll cut him in sunder, and he will point him his portion with the unbelievers. What does that mean? He's a hypocrite. He's not genuine. He's a hypocrite. So what is the point of this 39 through 46? If your heart is right, you'll be constantly ready, and you will avoid getting slack in your love for him and your devotion to him. Now, folks, you got to be ready. You don't know when the Lord's coming. You say, Pastor, it may not come for 5,000 years. I know it, and it could come in 5 minutes. There is a sense in the Scripture in which there is the imminence that at any time the Lord could come back. And we're to always be ready. We're not to say that, well, we're not sure when he'll come back. I think I'll just eat, drink, and be merry, and I'll just treat people any way I want to treat them, and I'll just take me a nap. In fact, the text said he even got drunk. Well, verse 39 says to us that if the goodman, did you notice that? He said if he had known what hour the thief was coming, he'd have watched. Now, folks, do I need to make any plainer what he just said? There is a thief that's kind trying to come and break into your house, meaning your life. A thief that has come, been sent to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He going to mess up your thinking. He's stealing your understanding. When he does that, because you're working like a dog, you're going to find that you, out of your awareness, you're beginning to lose your joy. Because you're not making as much as you wanted to make. You're not accomplishing what you wanted to accomplish. I hear people all the time, even in preacher meetings, set a goal, set a goal, set a goal, set a goal. Folks, I'm not opposed to goal setting. The problem is sometimes my goal and God's goal is not one and the same. You better let the Lord set your goal. Or you will be seeking to achieve something because somebody thought it sounded good or it was bigger than somebody else's, and you will absolutely drive yourself half crazy trying to achieve a goal for the sake of the achievement, and God was nowhere in it. You better hear me. There's a thief trying to break into your house. I believe if I was going to have a goal, I'd say, dear God, let me so live for you that that thief won't be breaking into this house. That's a worthy goal. Verse 40 says, you be ready. You be prepared. Verse 42 talks about those that were faithful and wise, those that were trustworthy and had discretion, and they were full of thought considering this entire matter. And verse 46 says, the hypocrite is going to be cut off from you, cut off from the land of the living, and be judged just like an unbeliever. You be constantly ready and don't get slack. Now, question, and I'll move on. I can't answer this for you. You can't answer it for me. Don't answer out loud, please. Am I talking to some people who've got slack? You used to do this, but you don't do it anymore. I used to be faithful to this, and I'm not anymore. I had a preacher say to me, been before COVID, y'all still have church on Sunday night? I said, Foot, yeah, we have church on Sunday night. That's when we have real church. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, I have a theory. It may be wrong, but I have a theory. I think sometimes, not always, sometimes those that come on Sunday morning come because they're into a routine. They won't tip their hat to God. And I said, when the Sunday morning crowd is gone, people that love God come back on Sunday night. He said, well, I just have to tell you, we quit ours, all we do Sunday morning, and I must tell you, said it with some body language, I must tell you, I've enjoyed it. And I bit my tongue not to say, I don't blame you, I've enjoyed some carnality at times myself. We are going to hell in a handbasket, and the preachers are trying to figure out how can we have less church. We might have revival in the church if we could have revival with we preachers. You won't do anything better than pray, Father, if nobody in this revival has a touch from you, let our pastor have a touch from you. He needs it. And if he gets touched, there's no telling what you might do through him to the rest of us. Had some folks leave the church many years ago. Somebody talked to them months later and said, well, I tell you, he said, we've enjoyed, you know, since we left Morningside because we don't feel guilty no more. That's bragging that there's no commitment required. I don't have to serve God. It's not meaningful to my spirit. And all the while, his own spirit and his own walk was headed down toward that which will finally bring destruction. And he's quite proud of it. Folks, you can be the happiest person in Valdosta either on your way to hell or happy on your descent as hell is on its way to you. See, I don't think laying out of church will send you to hell. I think it'll bring hell to you, meaning that there will be chaos in your life because a cold heart is a fertile ground for the enemy to do most anything he wants to do. And then we wonder, well, can you believe he left his wife? Can you believe she walked away from her husband and those children? Folks, the question, that's not the question, that's the symptom. The question is, can you believe with what he and she had been taught that they, knowing that, let their hearts get cold toward God? Because, folks, nobody leaves their wife or husband without a cold heart. Nobody does. Just fill in the blank. Don't make me run the litany. People don't do that other stuff first without a cold heart. That's the issue. One of the great songs of my youth in the inspiration book, Beth, as you'll remember, "How About Your Heart? Is It Right With God?" That's the thing that counts today. Is it black by sin? Is it pure within? Could you ask Christ in to stay? People often see you as you are outside, but Jesus really knows you, for he sees inside. How about your heart? Is it right with God? That's the thing that counts today. Number 5, in verse 47. And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. What is the fifth mark of a heart that's right? You be ready by doing the Lord's will. That's the whole key of verse 47. Prepared not himself. How could he do that? He said he neither did according to his will. If you want to prepare your heart, you do God's will. What is God's will? Now, don't make that hard. I don't know the details of God's will for you, but it is God's will for you to read your Bible. You don't have a clue what God thinks without reading your Bible. And if you're not reading your Bible, I don't even want to hear your question, much less give you an answer. That's what God said, the Bible. Read your Bible. Talk to him. Listen to someone exhort you from the Scriptures. Study the Word of God, either in Sunday school or out of Sunday school. Obey everything you understand from that book that God said. Obey that. That's doing God's will. And it's typically not the FGHIJKLM. It's the ABCDE that we fail to do. That gives us that cold heart. So you be ready by doing the will of God. Nobody don't have to tell you to go to church. Heaven help. You know to go to church. Unless you wasn't raised in a Christian environment, don't know anything about God or the church, you know the house of God's a place to go. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Did God say that because he's on some type of pride ego trip and he needs you to stroke him? No. He knows you need that. It's the fellowship of God's people with God where we bring ourselves, warts and all, together to say, "Dear God, we're a mess today. Can you do anything to help fix my life?" Folks, that's true with Brother Wayne and that's true with you. At our best days, we're pretty much a mess. Is that an amen or an oh me? What did I hear? Last but not least, verse 48. But he that knew not... And he committed things worthy of stripes, but he didn't know. But he did commit things worthy of stripes. He going to be beaten with few stripes. For unto whom much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. Now, what does that tell us in verse 48? It tells us that we're to be responsible if we have a heart that's right, knowing that everybody's going to answer to God. Now, did you notice that thing to the person that didn't know? He going to be beaten with fewer stripes? Now listen to this statement. Ignorance, and that's what it is if you don't know. It's just, that's what that word means. I don't know. Just like Brother Wayne is ignorant of flying a plane. I don't know how. Ignorance is given a measure of mercy. Are you listening to that? Because he's only going to be beaten with a few stripes. But he's not given a free pass. Can I say that again? Ignorance is given a measure of mercy, but it's not given a free pass. And if I don't know, I ought to be smart enough to be trying to find out. Lord, what can I do to walk more fully with you? I want to please you, Lord, the best I know how. Lord, I want to give you whatever you want of my life. I want you to have it. I don't want you to one day when I face you say, you know what I wanted from you, and you just refuse to give it. You'll give an account for what you did with what God gave you, for to whom much is given. Y'all see that in verse 48? To whomsoever much is given of him shall much be required. And if a lot's been committed to you, God's going to ask more of you. That's what a heart looks like when it's where it needs to be. Let's pray together. Would you bow? Nobody moving around, please. It's not a good time to leave. It's time to do business with God. From your heart, would you say something like this to the Lord? Lord, I don't think I got to do business with Brother Wayne, but I know I do have to do business with you. And I want to ask you to examine my heart right now. And I want to ask you, Lord, to put your finger on me in a way that I can't wiggle away from. Lord, if there's anything, anytime, anywhere, any place, under any condition that you desire for me, Lord, I don't want to be in ignorance. I want to know so I can do your will. Lord, I have a heart no different from Brother Wayne's. In my best day, I'm a mess too. And I want to have a heart that has health about it, a healthy spiritual heart. And I pray you'll touch me now. I pray you'll show me. I pray you'll teach me. I pray you'll lead me. And I pray you'll continue to transform me until you call me home. And Father, today I want to pray for any in this room that may not know you. They may be good people. They may be moral people. They may be as fine a person as there is in town. But they may never have been saved. They've been baptized, but they've not been saved. Today, oh God, by your Spirit, would you save them? Would you regenerate their spirit? Would you take away the penalty of their sin? Would you rule away the deadness? And would you fill them with your life? Have your way, oh God, in each of us, starting with this pastor. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. As Brother David.